Hey everyone, wanted to let everyone know about a new sponsor on the John Krasinski Show going forward here. It is Princeton's Liquors in Maple Grove, locally owned by Bill Princeton, who has deep ties to the Timberwolves organization. He actually was the mascot Crunch sporadically way back when. And so if you're looking at ways to support Timberwolves-centric businesses, certainly go to Princeton's Liquors in Maple Grove. They have a craft beer selection that is second to none, one of the very best, and not just in the Northwest suburbs where they're located, but in the state. They also specialize in bourbon. So if you or one of your loved ones is a big bourbon fan, go to Princeton's Liquors in Maple Grove for one of the very best selections of bourbon that you're going to find in the area at all. They also have THC seltzers and gummies. And they have all sorts of drinks, all sorts of beverages and libations that you could want. Really excited to support these folks who have been very supportive of the John Krasinski Show and of my Twitter and everything else that we've been doing here at The Athletic and at Talk North for quite a long time now. Princeton's Liquors in Maple Grove. Bill Princeton has been a third generation booze slinger. He's been doing it. His family's been doing it for darn near 100 years. So you know he's got the expertise. You know he's got everything that you're going to need. Stop in and see him. He had plenty of crunch time over the last few weeks. I don't know if the supplies are still going or not, but you can, if you can't find the crunch time, you can find plenty of other great craft beer selections, great bourbons, THC seltzers and gummies at Princeton's Liquors in Maple Grove.
All right, John. Well, I don't know if either of us would have picked accurately anything that's happened so far in the series, but let's try to figure out what's going to happen next year. This is the John Krasinski Show. He's John Krasinski from The Athletic. I'm Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. Brandon Morton is our producer. Well, we're talking here on Monday morning after the Wolves lost a difficult game four at Target Center to even the series at two games apiece. After the game, Chris Finch did promise to try to make some changes or some tweaks or some rotation adjustments. And we saw what happened with Mike Malone when he had 3 or 4 days to figure out what the Wolves were doing. He's done a masterful job of putting his team in a position to win. John, as we sit here on Monday morning, what do you expect out of Chris Finch and the Wolves as they prepare for game five in Denver?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there will be some adjustments because I think that usually early on in a series, especially, you avoid trying to overcorrect or do anything too quick or too knee-jerk after one good result or one bad result, and you kind of stick with what's worked for you for most of the season and in the series. But now as you get five games in, I think you do have at least a strong enough sample size to start to make concrete decisions based on what you're seeing out there. And so I think we are at that point now going into game five that Chris Finch, if he wants to, can make some real changes to the rotation, can make some changes to some of the scheme and strategy, because they have seen what works and what doesn't work. One of the obvious things is maybe this just isn't the series for Kyle Anderson. Maybe they need to shorten rotation or swap him out for a McLaughlin or a Monte Morris or something like that to try and get the ball moving and try and have some sort of offensive threat in that spot. Anderson at small forward with all of the other bigs healthy just is not the same Kyle Anderson as he is when he's playing the power forward. So I think that's one thing. That certainly isn't the only reason they lost these two games at home, but that's just one thing that kind of jumps out a little bit, and I'm sure there will be more because now it's a three-game series. Now it's best 2 out of 3, and the next victory, game five, is a real pivotal one because that just, whoever wins that game is going to be in real control of what happens. And so I think that this is a case where, you know, it's anything is possible. throw everything out there. Don't worry about hurting feelings or sentimentalities or anything like that. You have to give yourself the best chance to win game five. And I think that the Wolves will try to do that.
Yes. Kyle Anderson has been problematic. Right, let's get to another player who's been problematic, at least offensively. Just to remind you, this is the John Krasinski Show. This is part of TalkNorth.com. We are coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios. We want to thank Aquarius Home Services, Define Destinations, TSR Injury Law, Nasreed, Head Flyer Brewing, and Shepherd Goods and Lamb Chops Clothing Line. If you like this show, please subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's the easiest way to listen. And if you like any of our other shows at TalkNorth.com, I highly recommend the Chin Music Show. Myself, Lavelle Neal, and Roy Smalley talking about a very interesting Twins team. We have Russo on hockey. We have Mike Grimm on the Gophers. Jeff Diamond on the Vikings. We do the Viking Update Show. John Millay on Preps. Dawn of Sports. This week will be Caleb Truax. We've had Lindsey Young from Viking.com on there as well. Check it all out. We appreciate all the support we've gotten, and we want to keep growing. So thanks. The other player who's struggling offensively is Jaden McDaniels, and the Nuggets are taking advantage of that.
Yeah, I mean, the three-point shooting just hasn't been there, Jim, really all playoffs. And I think that he was effective in against Phoenix when he was attacking off of the dribble a little bit, when he was getting some offensive rebounds and creating second chances when he was getting to the rim. And he just hasn't been as aggressive that way yet against Denver, and I haven't been able to figure out exactly why that is. I mean, he was okay yesterday. He was 4-for-8, 1-for-3 from three. But I think that when you are not getting what you need to get from Cat, and when Rudy really isn't as effective offensively as he has been, I think Jaden needs even more pop. He needs to be up into the mid-teens in scoring. He needs to be a little more aggressive and a little more reliable that way, creating his own shot, getting good looks. He can do that with his size, and it hasn't been there. That's just the, you know, that's one of the many factors that come into this. And I think he's been really good defensively. He's giving them a lot that way, but he's at his best when he is doing it on both ends. And he did that in Phoenix, and we still haven't seen that really good Jaden McDaniels offensive game yet here. I mean, it was kind of famous. We were talking about after game two, he was plus 50 and he had only scored 5 points in the series. That's great. It shows he's playing great defense, but they do need to get him some more offense, especially now that the Denver Nuggets offense is clicking. This is an offense that has really started to figure things out, is attacking the Wolves defense and getting easier buckets. So the Wolves are going to have to score more and at a higher clip. And Jaden McDaniels has to be a part of that.
No doubt. And as you said, is the box score didn't look terrible, but when you watched the game, you saw them leave him alone.
Yep.
And he didn't make his first three pointer until the fourth quarter. So he didn't really make them pay for that strategy. And I mean, that's what we're seeing in a great series like this is, punching, counterpunching, testing, and you brought up the other problematic player from game four. I actually thought it was remarkable how well Karl-Anthony Towns played coming off that injury. He's had big moments and big stretches in these playoffs. He's carried the team for, half a quarter here and half a quarter there. But man, 0-for-7 to start the game last night, and they posted him up a lot. And I just think that his greatest strength is the three-point shot, and which not only gives you 3 points, but also, stretches defenses out.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was hard to watch last night. It just was, Jim. I've typically, and maybe to some people's consternation, often been a defender of Cat, and he's been very good in these playoffs, especially in games one and two. But last night it was a regression to the worst of Cat. And I think that one of the things that really play into it is it's the first time he's played on Mother's Day since his mother passed away 4 years ago. And that's a very difficult thing. There's a lot of emotions involved in that. I think that Carl wanted to have a big game for her on that day. I think it meant a lot to him. Obviously, it got into his head in the wrong way because his energy was frantic. He was not in control. The composure that he had displayed so well through the first six games of the playoffs just was not there in game four to start 0 for 7, to be 1 for 10 at halftime. That's just not good enough. And the Wolves need so much more. And not only did he really struggle offensively to give Anthony Edwards some support that way, but defensively, he was not in it either. He was making the wrong reads and wrong rotations. He was getting cooked on the perimeter by Aaron Gordon. He was not doing any of the things that we have seen him do to help the Wolves get to this point. And so, unfortunately for Cat, it's going to be kind of some of the same old criticisms that rear their ugly heads from people who don't believe that he is equipped to play in these types of high leverage games. I personally think he just had a bad game, and I think that he can absolutely get back to what he has done. He's shown he's capable of that, but just looking at that specific game, that specific moment, it was absolutely the wrong way to play, and the Wolves needed more from him, and he just could not seem to find the level of calm and the composure that he needed to make a couple of big shots, to make a couple of big stops, and help get this team through it.
Anthony Edwards did show up, had a spectacular game, didn't get much help. I also thought it was really interesting as the game ended. Denver had the ball and they were dribbling out the clock. The Wolves are kind of lagging back, looking fairly depressed. And Christian Braun started clapping. Jamal Murray said something, and Ant crossed paths with him at midcourt and said, and it looked like he was jawing with him pretty good. They didn't really respond. I asked Ant about that after the game. He said, keep talking. And I think he's trying to use it to motivate himself to show that they're still in the fight. But it was an interesting game from Ant. Also interesting postscript for Ant.
Yeah, I was really glad, Jim, that you asked the question afterward, because I had seen a little something, but I couldn't get a good clear view of it. And so when you asked about him about it in the press conference, it was clear that whatever Ant saw from Jamal Murray bothered him. Just in terms of the way, whether he's kind of yapping at the crowd, feeling good about himself, and Ant wants this fight. He wants to be in the middle of this. Now, I was talking to some Denver people leading into these home games in Minnesota, and there was kind of some suggestion that the Wolves did the same thing in game two in Denver, and it didn't sit well with those vets. Like, they saw a lot of, the celebration, a lot of the swagger after that game two beat down in Denver. And I think that was under their skin a little bit going into game three. And so you saw them respond with some pride. And so I think that Anthony Edwards kind of had the same feeling looking at Jamal Murray flex on his home court in his house. And we'll see what that brings about in terms of approach, intensity, and those kinds of things in game five. What I wonder in particular, Jim, is I don't think that the Wolves need any more from Ant. He's giving them everything you could ask for in this series. He needs the rest of his team to come with him and have that same kind of fight and have that same kind of intensity in game five. And so I love that Ant responded the way that he did. You see that he is very mature in the way that he is handling this. He has a great perspective on, hey, we won two, we lost two. It's still just a series. That's what it is. And this was not going to be easy. And so if he can have that trickle down to the rest of his troops, then they have a very good chance in game five. But you can see the seeds of a rivalry starting to germinate here. I think that there is a lot of edge on both sides, and it's going to really make for a compelling, three-game series here.
And that's the thing. I know there's a certain segment of Minnesota sports fans and Timberwolves fans who are fatalistic about, anything. If anything goes wrong, they assume everything's going wrong. I think this is high-level championship basketball. The Nuggets are great. They are great. Jokic is the best player in the world. Jamal Murray responded after embarrassing himself in game two by playing like a champion in games three and four. And the other thing is, I think this is a fascinating coaching matchup. Mike Malone and Chris Finch are different kind of guys, but They're both very good at what they do. And I thought you could tell before game three, the way Mike Malone talked about challenging his guys, that they, you know, results aside, you knew they were going to give it everything in that game.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think this is honestly where Michael Malone is at his best sometimes, is when the team has underperformed, has disappointed, is in a difficult spot. Malone seems to be really good at figuring out how to push the buttons to get them going in the right direction, to stoke their competitive fire, to wake them up. And there, he did a lot of talking in between games two and three about everything they'd accomplished, about how embarrassing game two was, and, you know, really kind of openly challenging their character and, you know, their ability to fight in this. And I think it certainly did help. He told the story after game three about distributing a reel of clips for, you know, of all the people who are saying that the Wolves were going to sweep, that the Nuggets were done, like all of that stuff. And I think that that kind of theatric worked with this group. It got them going. It appealed to their base pride and all of that. Finch is not generally as frontal as Malone is. He's not as sort of openly vocal and critical and demonstrative as Malone is, but behind the scenes, he will absolutely challenge the guys. And I do think that what we will see now is, we know the Nuggets had their character challenged and responded forcefully. What will the Wolves do in the same boat? We have seen them all season long bounce back from tough defeats, show some resilience, band together and do it. They have, none of those instances have come against the defending champions, who have seemed to figure things out. So this will be their greatest challenge. But I do expect Chris Finch to be very straightforward with them on what it's going to take to win game five, and kind of level with them a little bit, and see how Karl Anthony Towns, how Naz Reid, how Mike Conley, how Rudy Gobert, how all these guys respond to now being pushed right up against, you know, the wall here. They have, you know, game five is crucial, because, you know, if Denver wins, then they're coming back home to Minnesota, where the Wolves have not beat them yet. And even if the Wolves do win, they got to go back to Denver for a game seven. So this one is going to be the most difficult thing they've done all season, and maybe the most, and not maybe, the most important thing they've done all season. And so it's the time for niceties and all of that is over. I think there's going to be, have to be some frank and real conversations in this very short turnaround time, and they're going to have to get after it. And the Wolves are going to have to respond the same way the Nuggets did when they were punched.
Yes. All right, let's talk about the halftime disaster. Let's talk about the refs. Let's talk about Mike Anunoby, Murray, Jokic, benches, everything else. Right now, though, we want to thank Aquarius Home Services for providing studio. TSR Injury Law, 612-TSR Time. I keep seeing the billboards everywhere I drive. Conquering the Courts, partnership between Steve Terry, TSR Injury Law, Naz Reid, and the Timberwolves. It's such a cool thing. We got to see Steve at the last live show, where we had Tim Connolly out to Head Flyer Brewing. And this is just a blast. And Naz Reid's such a cool guy. And I love the fact that he's working along with people we really like and have been good to us. And Steve always reminds you, just remember, if you're injured, call 612-TSR-TIME. They'll take good care of you. They will not charge you unless they win your case. And they win a lot of cases. That's why they can afford the billboards and hanging out with Naz Reid. Let's quickly tell us about Head Flyer Brewing and what is brewing over there.
Yeah, Head Flyer Brewing, Northeast Minneapolis. They every Wolves game, and now they're going back on the road for game five. They're going to be late tips, but Head Flyer is staying open late for these games. Great drink specials, the best beer that you can find in the Twin Cities. And just a wonderful environment for Wolves fans. You want to go there. They have a bunch of TVs in their wide open tap room. There's a great patio right outside on the beautiful weather nights that we've been having lately to hang out with your friends, watch the Wolves game. They have a sweet, just an awesome white kind of Wolves inspired t-shirt that they're selling these days at Head Flyer, along with drink specials during the game. And so go in to Head Flyer Brewing in Northeast Minneapolis. Tell them that the John Krasinski Show sent you. You've been there for the live shows with us. We always have a great time. And it is awesome there on a Wolves game night because you have a ton of like-minded Wolves fans getting in there. You can bite your fingernails. You can be nervous. You can also celebrate when things are going well. Head Flyer Brewing, Northeast Minneapolis.
Thanks also to Lamb Chop. Let me not mess it up. Lamb Chop's clothing line. Shepherd Goods and Lamb Chop's clothing line.
SGLambChops.com is the place to go. Using the promo code JONK20 will get you 20% off anything that you want at Lamb Chops, SGLambChops.com. Some of the most comfortable sweatpants, shorts, hoodies, t-shirts that you'll ever wear. Super comfortable, super stylish, really high quality stuff made locally here by a couple of proprietors, Jordan and Craig. They sit courtside at Wolves games. They have some collaborations with the Timberwolves, and they just do really cool stuff. They have pop-up stores around town every once in a while for special events. They are invested in this community, and they just make really good clothes to hang out in, to be comfortable in. They're the best shorts that I've ever worn. I love their hoodies. I love their t-shirts. Super high quality. SGLambChops.com is the place to be. And at the end of this show, we will answer a Twitter question, and the winner, whoever question is chosen, will get a free pair of Lamb Chop shorts. So stick around for that. But while you're waiting for that, maybe go to sglambchops.com, promo code JONK20 for 20% off anything you can get there with Lamb Chop's clothing line.
Thanks to all of our sponsors. One question. We all think highly of Mike Inouye, and obviously him coaching from the sideline worked very well in the first two games. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with what's going on the sideline. My only question is, do you think when calls start going against the Timberwolves and it's Mike Inouye talking to the officials instead of Chris Finch, does that make any difference at all?
You know what? I really don't think so, Jim. I guess one thing that I need to pay a little bit more attention to is that I haven't necessarily is like how much Micah does really work the officials. Chris Finch is one of the more, I would say, vocal coaches with officials. He is constantly having conversations with them. Sometimes he's complaining. Sometimes he's just trying to get some explanation on a certain call or things like that. He is very active in his interactions with them. I don't think Micah is quite the same way. I know that he certainly does have conversations with the officials, and he does, you know, try to get his point across. There could be, you know, maybe a little bit of substitute teacher vibe in terms of what the way the refs kind of receive his input and his information, but I don't really get a sense that has had any effect on the way the game has been called or what's gone for them or against them. In particular, you know, I think game three, you look at it, certainly called much tighter and much differently than game two was. I just think the Nuggets did a better job of adjusting to it than the Timberwolves did. I don't think the Timberwolves were screwed by the officials in that game. In game four, I don't think it was an officiating thing at all. I think it was, Cat and Nikhil Alexander Walker not being able to hit a shot. It was Cat and Naz Reid not being able to defend anyone. There was just a lot of just Wolves centric execution issues that really plagued them. But it is something that I'll watch a little bit closer in game five and game six just to see how Micah does interact with them, because, you know, maybe there might be a little subtle influences that can be exerted there from time to time that are not being, but by and large, I don't think that's been a real factor so far.
The Timberwolves lost their minds for about 30 seconds at the end of the half, and I pretty much ended the game. kind of very uncharacteristic. Bad turnover leading to a runout dunk, then a desperation heave that had no chance of succeeding. And listen, one of the reasons we're talking about it is a guy made a 55-foot shot, and that's a little unpredictable, but still a bad look there at the end of the half.
It was terrible, Jim, and I do think that, you know, look, they lost the game by 8 points, and the Nuggets scored 8 points in 20 seconds there. Like that, you know, that was a huge, huge part of the game. Ant had a bad turnover to get things started. Then you have the run out to Michael Porter for the dunk. That's bad enough. But then for Nikhil Alexander-Walker to just make an errant throw like that made zero sense to make with just a, you know, whatever, 2 seconds left on the clock, and it lands right in Jamal Murray's hands, and then he swishes the 55-footer. It was bad luck on the Wolves' part, but they created their own bad luck. This is a team, the Denver Nuggets, that feasts on your mistakes. They are as precise as any team in the league. They are ready to pounce any time there is even a little let up, an error, you know, a brain fart, whatever it is. And so the Wolves just cannot afford to do that. Cannot afford any of that. And that was a massive part of the game because the Wolves had cut it to 7. Ant had just hit a 3. The crowd was into it. It looked like they were mounting a charge. And if they could have gotten it to 5 by, you know, even if it stayed at 7, but if they could have gotten it to, let's say, 5 by the halftime, they're in fantastic shape. They go in, they feel like, hey, the Nuggets have hit every shot and we just haven't been able to get a stop, but we're right still in it. Let's keep going. And instead, they're down 15, and the mountain to climb is so much steeper. So it's just, you know, it's mistakes like that that just cannot happen in these games if the Wolves are going to right the ship and if they're going to kind of bounce back and get control back in this series.
We've been reminded that Denver has the best player in the world, and I think it's fascinating that it looks like Jokic has said, okay, what you're telling me is you're going to give me tough two-point shots. Okay, I'll just take them, and I'll make them all.
Yeah, I think obviously, you know, Jamal Murray looks much healthier in these games than he did in games 1 and 2, and that's certainly a major point that has helped flip the script here a little bit. But absolutely Nikola Jokic getting back to looking like the best player in the world. In the first two games, he was not great. He put up big numbers, but I don't think he was particularly impactful. And so, you know, it looked like the Timberwolves defense with Cat on him and then Rudy lurking really did mess with him. And there were times where it didn't look like Jokic was really all that interested in playing in the games. I mean, the quotes afterward, they were very defeated. You know, he got his MVP trophy in between games 2 and 3. You know, I'm sure that he heard from his teammates, hey, we need you, big fella. I don't think the outside criticism or anything influences Nikola Jokic at all. But I'm sure that kind of he looked at the way that things had been going and had some sort of internal pride meter that was going off. And the way that he attacked the Wolves in games 3 and 4 looks like he has just kind of found the answers to what was working against him in those first couple of games. And now he's making those quick little passes to Aaron Gordon. And now he's hitting that quick floater over Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns to neutralize their size. And everything that he was doing was just a little quicker, a little harder, a little crisper, and much more effective. And he was fantastic in the game last night, 35-7-7. I mean, that's a Nikola Jokic game, and he controlled that thing from the outset. And when he's playing like that, man, the Nuggets are just so hard to beat. And I thought that the Wolves really did a good job in those first two games of at least making it hard on him and limiting his impact. And it did not go that way in games 3 and 4.
No, it did not. I haven't been to a Denver Nuggets game in Denver in a very long time. I'll be there for game five. You will too. What is the atmosphere like there?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be, I'm sure game five is going to be the wildest one yet there. I was there last year in the playoffs. I really like the arena. I love Denver, the city. I think it's just a great place. And in game two in particular, but even in good portions of game one, the crowd did not quite seem as amped. They had not played well in the Lakers series. Then the Wolves were really taking it to them, in both of those games, one and two. And so there was kind of a little bit of, kind of murmuring, come on, guys, let's go. And by the end of game two, the Wolves fans had taken the place over, like where they were chanting MVP for Anthony Edwards. They were saying Wolves in four and things like that. And it was really a muted ball arena. I am sure now, after watching their team rally back from down 2-0 to tie it, after listening to all the criticisms that their team got when it was 2-0, they're going to be absolutely fired up for game five. It's going to be a raucous environment. And, maybe as Chris Finch said before the game four, maybe this is what the Wolves need. Maybe they need to be on the road in a hostile environment, away from their families, away from all of the distractions of home, and just be totally locked in to try and refocus and re-energize there. I think that's entirely possible because they did not play with the same level of intensity, the same decisiveness and focus and intelligence at home that they did on the road. And maybe that environment is going to be exactly what they need to sort of shake the malaise that they're in and get them back locked into this.
Let's get to the Twitter question. Once again, the John Krasinski Show is coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios. We do want to thank Divine Destinations, TSR Injury Law, 612 TSR Time, Head Flyer Brewing, and Shepherd Goods and Lamb Chops Clothing Line. And here's the Twitter question.
Yeah, so it comes from kind of a longtime fan, Coley, ColeWorld1621 on Twitter. She asks, do we think the Wolves are getting beat mentally at this point? Game three, I chalked it up to, quote unquote, it happens. But game four was actually the bigger disappointment because it felt like last year's lapses when we've shown so much better almost the entire playoffs. And I think she makes a good point, and I asked Mike Conley about this after the game. I do think that the Wolves are still an inexperienced group when it comes to the playoffs. And I think they are finding out just how thin the margin for error is against a team like Denver. And they were able to get away with more mistakes mentally against Phoenix. They were able to get away with some of these mistakes in the regular season and bounce back and have it not hurt them. But when you look at Denver in the playoffs now in an energized group, any little thing that you do, if you miss a rotation, if you're just slow to close out on a shooter, if you turn the ball over in traffic, if you lose a guy back door, like you're getting beat every single time on that. And I think that is something that the Timberwolves can learn as they go through in this series of adjusting to just how precise you have to be. And that can be change from game one to game five. They can learn that, hey, we do not have any room for messing around tonight. We have to really be on our P's and Q's and just getting after it. And I think they are losing the mental portion of this matchup much more than the physical portion right now. And going forward in games five, six, and maybe seven, they are just going to have to give their most mentally tough, most locked in performances of the season to have a chance to win here. And if they don't, the Nuggets are still going to capitalize on it, and they're going to take advantage of those mistakes, and they're going to put the Wolves down. But if they can really lock in like they were in games one and two, they absolutely have the talent physically to compete and to beat these guys. It's just going to take a level of maturity and toughness from a mental aspect of things that they have achieved in some cases this season, but are going to have to be totally locked in on the rest of the way here. So thanks, Coley, for your question. JONK20 at sglambchops.com for 20% off all of the merchandise there.
One general plug, I think the group of people who cover the Timberwolves just do a fabulous job. A lot of good people. You know, John does great work at The Athletic. We have good people at the Star Tribune. The room's filled with good people. You know, Jace Frederick, Dane Moore, just Britt Robson. There are a lot of good people out there. So, you know, take advantage of it. You're getting a lot of great content from a lot of Twin Cities journalists right now. Some of them require subscriptions, some you can get for free, but don't chintz on the subscriptions. It allows people to go do good work and travel to these games. So that's my plug for the Twin Cities Timberwolves beat writing crew, great crew. So enjoy listening to this podcast, enjoy reading it all. We do appreciate the support, and I hope the Wolves can make this interesting down the stretch.